Yes, you may start.
Thank you, Chair. Well, thank you very much for letting me come on. My plan is to give an update on the cycling project, which is looking at future options for the development of higher education going beyond wide, and which is the further development of higher education on wide. And the key messages, and I just wanted to start with, is actually the IOI already has a significant and thriving higher education offer, higher education at all in the same place. Those are courses available at level 4 and above, so above A level, and currently around 200 individuals, largely adults, but not exclusively, are following A level 4 programme or higher here on the island itself. So this initiative is about how we build on that existing provision. Under the title I Aspire, this project is being taken forward. And I just want to give you the context. The I Aspire project has three aspects to it. I think it's been referenced in this chamber previously, but to just briefly revisit. The first aspect is Achieve, which is an initiative to look at very specifically how we support further improvement in our A-level performance. That's across our now four school sixth forms. Provisional results that I've seen in the press over the summer reported that we believe that there has been some improvement this year, and that's to be welcomed. The validated data will be available later. But we're not complacent, and we're looking at investing in a school improvement program targeted at A levels, and I think that would be something that we know has already been welcomed by the schools, and we're currently at the design phase of that project. The second aspect is progress, and that relates to our educational model. I'm not looking on that now because that's the main focus of the next few slides. And then the third aspect is sustain, and this is looking at the configuration and sustainability of sixth form provision on the island for some time. I've had the pleasure of being associated with post-secondary education on the island for over a decade, and there are a couple of topics that have been discussed over that whole period and indeed before, and the configuration of post-secondary education on the island is certainly one of them. And this is not about whole scale restructure, it's really about how we sustain that provision and ensure it's got the capacity to sustain improvement going forward. But focusing on the progress element of the project, a working group was established at the end of 2018 with colleagues from the regeneration team here at the council, chaired by the assistant director. But also with colleagues from Children's Services, including myself, and I think most importantly, representatives from the school, college, university sector, and employers, because really their input that we need in order to show a future option. And I would want to take the opportunity to really acknowledge and thank colleagues from the education sector and indeed employers via the chamber, who gave their time and are really looking to collaborate effectively to take this forward. We often reference the competition sometimes between providers, but actually this is a real example of collaboration happening in the reality. As a working group, we designed and commissioned an organisation called EMSI, led by an International Skills and Labour Market Research Organisation, who work with York Consulting and Educational Consultancy, to design and deliver a piece of research over the spring and summer, testing out some options, really to arrive at viewers what option there is broad consensus. So this wasn't to determine what we will do necessarily, but really what it is there is the most support for. Again, I'll come on to that in detail in a moment. But what is worth mentioning is that the consultants commented that they've done similar exercises around higher education and other phases of education elsewhere. And the response from young people in schools on the island was the largest numerically that they've ever experienced. So often it might be commented outside of this room, possibly off island around challenges around aspiration, but we certainly found there to be lots of aspiration amongst young people on the island. Particularly if we look in detail at the report, we saw that two-thirds of young people in year 11 that took part in this process were expressing strong aspiration towards higher education. So that's a really pleasing finding from this piece of work. Four options that we were testing out cover all the bases. So, option one was the status quo, and as I said at the beginning, that was the status quo starts from the perspective that there is a strong higher education for immigrants on the island. And the option here was really to just let it continue to develop naturally. That grows, contracts, responding to local need, responding to demand, really to let the status quo continue. And I was very pleased to see that actually virtually no one from that 850 list felt that was what we should do. Again, reflecting the aspiration that actually the Isle of Wight is the place where our education can thrive, and really wanting to see there to be some concerted effort to develop the offer. Option two is really a sort of step on from the status quo. That's where we might look at some form of collaboration between providers, but really letting providers continue to do their own thing, but trying to engineer a level of collaboration that hitherto hasn't existed. And again, this exercise, I think, is the first time we've got all the separate higher education providers on the island together to talk about higher education. And again, the general feedback was that, the strong feedback was that, again, that wasn't enough, that didn't reflect the aspirations that departments and indeed individuals had for the future higher education offer. The third option, to spoiler alert, this is the one that we're going to pick up in a little more detail in a moment, was to look at something that might look a bit like a higher education centre. And just a note here that some of the language is starting to change from centre to hub. Hub giving the impression that it doesn't all have to happen in one place, but it will likely happen at multiple locations, but nonetheless, there is a single identity or brand of application. And alongside that, as part of this option, to look at what infrastructure requirements there might be if we were to pursue this in its form, as a full business case. And that brings into scope the question of accommodation. And of course, that's associated with the potential to attract individuals from the mainland to London as a destination. What I'm going to unskillfully avoid as best I can, your questions may bring this out, is who it is we are trying to attract in terms of higher education. And that question is something we've talked around through the working group. And I think the real answer is it's everyone. We absolutely want to have an impact on skills and higher skills of the individuals who are resident on the island, both in terms of their future prosperity but also the island's economy, meeting the needs of employees. But actually, what does the island have to offer as a destination for people who don't live here now as our education destination? And finally, the option of proposing a new university. And members will be aware that there have been calls for a university in the Isle of Wight from different courses. And actually, that reflects a high ambition and one that I'd certainly encourage you to quash. But what this really tested out is there at this moment and for the foreseeable future a real prospect of such bringing about such a new body? And our research today suggests that's probably not the case. But that doesn't rule it out as a long-term aspiration. So, Here we have a slight change in language that I've referred to. The establishment of higher education hub did emerge as the most popular option by some margin. People felt that it reflected the aspirations that they held and that we should all hold for higher skills and higher rights, and would represent a concerted effort to move the existing provision on. It also reflects the view that at this stage the university of London is something they felt would stretch our ambition and perhaps not reflect the reality given the wider challenges of the higher education sector across the country. And of course we know that despite the introduction of fees, a number of universities are financially challenged, indeed as institutions are across the education movement. So in the second paragraph there, I make those points. And it is about deliberate expansion of what exists, but also looking at what new provision might be made going forward. And key areas that emerged were certainly the creative and arts sector, particularly focused on music and music technology. And of course that reflects the offer that already exists here in part at Platform One. Platform One is a unique provision in the higher education offer, held in high regard within the music industry itself. Fantastic links with the music sector and music industry. And looking at that as really a foundation to develop an offer that specialises across the arts and cultural sector, and certainly strong support for that. Equally, high demand for future jobs at level four and above in the health and public sector, and again, including education and teaching. Again, looking at how we might create or expand provision in those subjects. So that's where we've got to in relation to stage one. An additional piece of work that we've undertaken inside the stage one exercise was to bring together the existing offer into a single higher education guide for the other lines. This has not been done before. With the fantastic support of the communications team here at the Otherwise Council, which I generally have sincerely to acknowledge. Within days, weeks, if not days, we will have the final draft of our higher education guide, which will be distributed to coincide with the October Queen's event that happens annually at the Arnold College. It will be distributed to all year 11 and 12 students, and it is not a prospectus from which you can directly apply, but it is signposting individuals to the provision that is being offered. To you've seen it, to teach you a little bit, this is the imagery that we are using. That's the proposed front cover. That's the range of providers that are participating in this project. The Open University provide the nursing programs at the hospital. So they are directly delivering on the island. The other universities associated with this are accrediting programs either by Platform One or the college, including the CCAM Centre in East Campus. And to illustrate the point I was making about we already have a strong higher education offer on the Isle of Wight, we just need to shine a spotlight on it and celebrate it further, I think. There are a few courses here which are in the planning, but most of these programmes are already running. So we're looking at 8 subject lines and nearly 50 individual programmes already on offer and will be on offer for September 2020.
Have you finished them?
Yes, thank you.
Questions? If we, I might as well go from left to right. So if we start with Councillor André, please.
Thank you. I know that the question of sixth form provision on the island is one that has been going around for quite some time now. It's widely known that we do have over provision at sixth form. And so what you're actually proposing here, am I right in thinking that it's going, it's sixth form going on to higher education?
Yes, it's post A level, post sixth.
So post sixth form. So are you looking at integrated pathways? Because obviously the first stage, it would appear, of this piece of work, which is an essential part of that, to look at the current provision that is being given. But I know work has been done as well to look at, as you so rightly said, the areas that are very much needed for the island's economy, for example, marine engineering, which we already have through CCAM. So obviously, the next stage of this work, I would think, would be to look at some integrated pathways. So how would this new centre actually integrate with the current provision to actually raise those attainment levels?
So, yes, this work that I presented works on stage one. Stage two, having identified option three as one of the series, is to develop that option further, including the offer itself, the programmes to be proposed. That would include the existing programmes and what else might be developed and for which there is a need and a demand, I think, in terms of viability. So pathways from not just A levels, but also through the strong technical provision available at CCAM and college will need to be mapped out to stage two of this work.
Can I just have
a quick stop?
Yes, thank you for that. And another point that you made so well is that we do need to be all-inclusive and outward-looking in this. So not only do we need to provide for existing sort of students that we have, but also I think it's very important that we do include an attractive offer, as it were, because inevitably there will be students that will go off island for whatever reason. One of the things that you mentioned about demand, so presumably, as with all things we know, there will be a sort of minimum take-up in order to make things viable. So I presume that will be part of the next stage,
yes.
Is to actually, because it's not necessarily going to be the same numbers for each subject. So there will presumably need to be further analysis to identify the levels of which that can be offered. But I would assume that the results that you've already had and the work that's already been done will have already given you an indication of where the most popular subjects will lie, which will then form your thinking for the next stage.
That's right. In terms of the offer, it's important to just be clear that it's for individual institutions to develop and create that provision. What we're hoping to do through this exercise is to provide them with the evidence base of which suggests this is where there is demand that they might already be responding to, of course, but where there is additional demand that they can also tap into. And to balance that with the needs of the island economy as well, because what young people might choose doesn't necessarily align exactly to what the economy might need. But I'm pleased to say there is increasing overlap, particularly through the development of higher and medium level apprenticeships. And of course, for those programmes, you mentioned, sort of touched on the issue about numbers and association viability. Viability of programme will vary depending on the type of programme. So, more suited for a traditional centre based full time undergraduate course, then you might need for a more flexible day release or a prison programme.
Thank you, Chairman.
Yes,
a quick one. It's about the funding. Do we have to fund part of it? Will it be a joint effort? And does the students have to apply for grants for their own courses?
In terms of funding an undergraduate postgraduate program, that is dictated through national policy, which is a fees-based policy. I won't say unfortunately, it's not on the perspective, but that's the position.
Okay, and then with that higher education, when does that turn into adult education? So somebody's been working for 10 years and they want to go further in their field.
Yeah, so...
Does it put them in a different category at all?
The majority of the current higher education students are adults. In fact, technically, probably all higher education students are now above 18. But certainly, the majority following higher level programs are older still and in the workforce.
Yeah.
So, college provision and doing CCAP is largely responding to needs of people in work. The main undergraduate, younger adults, shall we say, often appear in the Reservoir Platform 1. And this is again a number of those sort of different dimensions of this, sort of, you know, talking about meeting need on island, talking about trying to attract people to the island, trying to talk about meeting needs of young people at undergraduate level, but then also a professional level for employers.
Thanks.
Councillor Howe.
Thank you, Chair. On the island, we've got 3 6-1 colleges. Yes?
Four.
Four, is it? What have I missed? I've got Cowes, Brook and Medina. I've got Cowes. I've got
Ryde
and Sandown.
Christ the King.
They go into Ryde.
Wherever they
want to
go.
Well,
no, Sandown
doesn't
have
6 forms
anymore.
No, I appreciate that. No, but there are three, is that right?
Four. You forgot Christ the King.
Oh, Christ the King, yeah. Yes, of course. Right. Right, these 6 form colleges, and then they go on to a higher education college, right? Now, the subjects that these 6 form are able to produce for the young people, are you able to produce enough subjects for the young people? Because they've messed about with this for so many years. So, a wonderful idea at one time, and we're going to bus, they're providing buses for all the schools who are going to bus their 6 form people to different subjects in different schools. But it never worked out because they could never figure out and get the children in the right place at the right time. So will they be able to move forward and take the subjects they want in the HG from the 6th form?
I think Brian wanted to.
Just to confirm, there are 4.
Yeah, I said there's 4. I'm not able to speak that anymore.
There were more 6th form providers on the island than that a couple of years ago, and we've been working with providers to reduce the number of 6th form provisions there are. Believe it us, if you've got slightly bigger institutions, you're then able to offer a wider range of A-levels, and that makes you have students studying subjects that they're interested in studying and are more motivated and therefore potentially leads to better outcomes. Pleased to report, not only did the primary school results go up this year and the GCSE results, but also the A-level results have gone up as well. So we've got 2 relatively large 6th form providers now in the centre of the island, in Christ the King and Carisbrook Medina. The other 2 6th form providers are both academies. So Cowes has decided, Augustham, the provider of Cowes, has decided they want to continue with the 6th form, and there is nothing the local authority can do about that. So that is a decision for the academy. And Ryde is run by Academies Enterprise Trust. And again, they are quite within their rights to decide whether they wish to run 6th form or not. And at this stage, they've said they want to run 6th form. So that's what we've got for. The college used to do A-levels, and they've pulled out of that offer. And also, you should be aware, Sandown used to run A-levels. Again, they've pulled out of that offer as well. So there are fewer providers of a larger size, which is being moved in the right direction.
Thank you very much for that, Brian. I do appreciate, we know we've got a problem, but I still have got a concern for our young people to ensure that they can get the teaching that they require and not restricted because of the subjects they're able to do. Because, for instance, say if they live within the cows catchment area, they are tied down to go to cows, and, or I don't know, are you able now to pay the children who want to take a certain subject which is not being run at cows to travel to one of the other schools on the island that is running that program?
The travel to learn distance increases as students get older. So for early years providers, you obviously need provision in local communities. For post-16 provision, actually children are 16, 17, 18 years old and can travel quite a long distance. So the Island Innovation Trust provision at no level caters for children from right across the island and they're able to get there and do the suggested study. Actually, No Hill has got quite a wide range of academics on offer, as a kid. So you know, there is much choice out there for students when they get to 16 and are leaving schools.
But is there provision? I know that you're saying that they can't go there, but if they've got to travel, do we support them in their travelling? If they can't get the thing in the school they're in, can they? Do we support them financially to travel? I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be awkward, but I just feel that they're young people.
My understanding is about 16 that the distance for travel is one that students pay for their own travel unless they've got the EHCP plan and a place that is named on the EHCP plan. And then in those circumstances, the local funds just pick up transport to the EHCP.
Yeah, it's just that I'm very concerned. We talk about HE and all this sort of thing as one unit. But are these children, are these people coming out? Are these children who are actually coming out of sixth form qualified in the subjects they want to take to move forward into an HE college?
Overall progression rates by young people to higher education programmes on the island is below national average. That's a driver behind this initiative. And the bit I didn't pick up today is that part of this, the ISFI project, is about not just promoting higher education on the island, but higher education as a destination for young people. So, forgive me if not for quoting exact figures, around nationally, just 38% of young people progress their higher education from A levels. On the island wide, it's just over 30%.
Right. Just one last question. How many children compared with Hampshire go to university from the Isle of Wight percentage-wise?
Hampshire is closer to the average.
And where are we?
A number below the average, but about 5 to 6 percentage points.
Yes, I'd like to see more of our young people getting the opportunity and being able to go to university.
Councillor Love, content.
Thank you for everything you're doing. It's quite a complex piece of work, really, and what we've demonstrated here is that progress is being made quite significantly, really, because we need to move on from the talking and into the action, really. So, and it's complex because of all the different elements that you've talked about in terms of education. So, there's a number of things. I mean, I actually quite think that option 3 is the way forward, but I also want to see us building on the two words that I want to see from within option 4 are existing universities. So to work with the existing universities to strengthen that qualification. But also I think it's important to remember that we actually need to be recruiting people to the jobs that we have. That's not to say that we shouldn't create a market in other things for the future, but without the jobs, you know, there's no point in training people for jobs which we don't currently, or the marketplace that we currently don't have. So, you know, the accommodation bit worries me a bit, because I think you hit it on the head by saying, who are we going to be targeting, who are we going to be attracting, for what purpose? And I can see that there might be some merit in some of that. Just not sure that we're there yet within this. But the point is that you are making really good progress. So I like the idea of an hybrid between 3-4 with the, you know, the long-term aspiration. I think you're absolutely right. For a long time, I've been against the idea of having a university in the immediate, but I can see that some way down the line, and I'm talking a long way down the line, really, that should be the, you know, the aspiration for the island. But it's about making sure that we're actually equipping our island young people with the skills that we need on this island to move forward. And so therefore I see that sort of hybrid. But it's important to say that, you know, we need to be inclusive in that. And you know, I think here the bits about, I heard inclusivity in a much, much, much broader context, but in the narrative, to make sure that those young people who are gifted and talented but don't have the accessibility, if you like, are included within that. There's all sorts of issues about money. I get that in terms of student loans and supporting people and so on. But we've got to deal with what we can deal with initially. So I'd like to see moving forward quite quickly, really, as quickly as we can, to make sure that option three is embedded and moving forward, you know, proactively. It's great to, you know, when we last met here, we were talking about providers not even talking to each other. So that's a good step, because you've got to move from the discussion to action. And I think we can move to action now. So I know I'm making a number of steps rather than asking a question. But, I mean, certainly, you know, I still have reservations at this point. The immediate issue for me is dealing with what we need, what jobs we've got, and equipping our local young people. And then the benefit, in addition, might be attracting people from other places. And I've got some reservations about that, but it's for you to prove my reservations wrong, so to say, well, you've got to prove it. But
a vision.
So it's about vision, isn't it, really? So that's kind of where I am with it. I think that you've made some really good progressive moves. Now we need to see the hub, and I like the hub better. Because what I don't want to be seeing is us spending lots of money on buildings when we don't have lots of money, but actually capitalising on what exists now and moving that forward as a whole. So does that... Another bit of statement, really, as opposed to a question. I'm really quite pleased with what
happened. Some of the various aspects of the rescue. But you're moving on pace somewhere.
So I guess the question is it's all about money and finance, because that's a big question, isn't it? I like the fact that we're working with our. Financially, what will it take to move us to the next bit?
In some ways, it's an easy answer. There is no money, so there's no challenge in how we might spend it. So that's where I'm saying. But around higher education, local authorities don't have any statutory duties or any commissioning role. Our role here is to influence and seek to cohere partners to respond to a need that we are articulating. So what we would hope in stage two is that we can encourage some partner universities, one or more, to invest in Ireland, because really that is the only likely source of funds. Certainly I would want to look at what assets it's got and could contribute, but in terms of financial investment, that's the dialogue with our university partners. We're also going to be talking to the Office of Students, that's a new regulator, groups, it's an organisation called PEFC, it's now called the Office of Students, and we have initiated a direct discussion with them, so they're aware of our aspirations, and hopefully from there we can look at how they might support us.
Right. Sean, will you wish to say anything?
Carl,
could you turn you? Thank you.
It's more to back you up, because I've recently joined the government of the IWEF, which has a sixth form college. And we've been having lots of discussions. It's about inclusivity. do you allow people who might not get as far as an A level, or do you give them a chance? And that's quite a discussion going on, because you could say you improve the standards, and then those people wouldn't get a chance within the site if you're looking at advanced history, and they wouldn't get to sixth form at all. And the other thing which affects results is these universities offer unconditional offers, which is damning the sixth forms, as far as I can see, with short discussions like that, because as soon as a student gets that sixth form, then the results can't progress forward unless.
The government is intervening on that point and sought to intervene on that point. To what effect, prepared yet, but certainly there has been a response from government to the unconditional offer, the rise in unconditional offers. But despite that, if the provisional results on the island stand up when they're updated, we would still sort of see an improvement in the average grade. So, to what extent that's affected the island, possibly not greatly at this point. So, I'm sorry for the first point.
Oh, it's about inclusivity to the.
So, relation to inclusivity, we know, I take up David's bets, that there are far more individuals on the Isle of Wight capable of accessing higher education than are at the moment, both young people and adults. And again, it's part of the project to determine, is it that the offer isn't here? Is it that there are other barriers, for example, the cost of travel to mainland, which should prevent anyone from doing that? Funding for this project is in part coming from a National Collaborative Outreach Project, NCOP, which is a national widening participation project to get more young people, phrases defined as young people, to progress to university. So we're set upon encouraging more young people to access higher education in the current moment.
Councillor Brading. Oh, sorry.
Also, would you start the investment earlier if it's like the Dean of the Grand Street program, which also goes into the sixth form off to the university?
Well, the investment that I referred to in improving standards at A level is certainly, ultimately, improving A level standards will allow a greater proportion of young people to access the higher education program of choice, and equally, the continued improvement.
Thank you. Councillor Brading.
Just a few quick points, actually. Philip and I actually had a meeting in London not long ago with a gentleman who's actually at Seven University up north, to just get some figures on what it would take for our aspiration university on the island. And £100 million and 5,000 students are the two key numbers that we came away with. We haven't got £100 million, possibly get that, fund it, but 5,000 students would be a challenge on the island, a challenge of getting them, and also the accommodation as well. So we came away from that thinking it's about enhancing our partnerships. Platform One's a great example. The University of Chichester and Platform One work hand in hand. We have an Ex-Rossi University on the island, it's just exploring those expanding even further. The thing about this list is, what the group's done, I've been part of the email groups, and they looked at what industries on the island, what skills on the island our business actually wants, as well as the engagement of the business community. That's why marine's on there, engineering. And these ideas, these categories will come, the business inputs into that. These are courses on the Isle of Wight that our businesses want to tap into. So they can go there and see what courses they can get their students from. The other thing is about attracting people to the island. As I retain an artist's team, about attracting people to come and study on the island. So the director, you go to this hub, so I want to move to the island or study on the island, what can I learn? And that's directly linked to the businesses and opportunities on the island. What's that reason for accommodation? Lee and I are working on accommodation, having for quite a while, certain fairly small accommodation, we can do that hand in hand. And this piece of work has happened really quickly. I can only thank Philip and the whole group for the work they've done. With the consultants, they used an incredible piece of work, and it was unbelievably well completed, far more than they expected, I believe. So the analysis of the work has taken a lot of effort and time to get to this stage. And you're right about that. The hub does need a building. there wouldn't be a costing burden. We have got within our asset portfolio some buildings we can, you know, quite easily use for that purpose. Maybe it doesn't that, is it a hub with brochure, but you know, it needs a centre that as well, and that's, you know, going to the local heads. You know, cost. So what they bring together, cost wise of it, you know, will be outweighed by the benefits of the island.
I'm very conscious of time, folks. So unless somebody has a recommendation or something really specific to say, I would like to close that down now. I hope it's good, Debbie.
Just the recommendation that obviously when we progress this to stage two, that you will come back to us with an update.
Absolutely,
yeah. And confirmation that, because I think at the moment option three is being proposed, but not... Has it actually been decided that option three is going to be progressed?
I'm having a formal meeting with the lead member to propose that option three is taken forward to stage two. So there's it's one exercise in two parts, and what this represents is part the first half. So it'll be at the end of part two that we have the full proposal to bring back.
Thank
and
you.
What would be the time frame for that?
I would be picking it days out of the year if I to reference, but I certainly would hope that it's within the financial year that we can get back to you.
Okay, as long as we can put that on our look, to have that update. We look forward to it. Thank you.
Short and sweet, Carl, please.
Yes, so I would actually want to recommend, you know, that we support option three as being support you in taking forward. I think that is a good recommendation. Yeah. We recommend and support option three as progressing.
Yeah.
I think that would be to the next stage. And we can review as that goes on in the cup, but I still think that that's good support to you from this council.
Right, fine. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Philip. It's very interesting.